Talk to us now and go to the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT. Disassembling the lies and reassembling the truth. This is the Jason Verma Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
What a fun first hour with Sal Greco. And look, Greco mentioned the Diddy, and that's where we began the show. So we're going to take it back to the entertainment industry and the music industry in particular, because I think that we also have to look at the historical nature of the abuse of children in that industry in particular. So we're going to start with a guy named Lou Pearlman. For those that don't know who Lou Pearlman is, he's a guy that found most of your big old boy bands, whether it be NSYNC or, yes, the Backstreet Boys or the 36 other bands that you never heard of. Well, I would encourage you to look into Mr. Pearlman's past with some of these young boys that he was spending long periods of time with on the road and in hotel rooms and the tales of abuse there. But don't worry, it's not exclusively American. Let's date myself for a moment. The Menendez murders, for those that don't know, were when two children of a music executive and his wife, who were, I believe, living in Beverly Hills, multi-millionaire mansions, they butchered their parents. They shot them up. Now, when they went to court for these murders, they said that they had been horrifically sexually abused by both of them to the point where they literally had no choice. Now, they committed these as young adults, and they're in prison to this day. Most people dismissed their story. Until recently, it came out of how many of these former members of Menudo, a boy band that had many different members over the years, said that they were abused by Menendez and others in horrific fashion. And now we get to the modern day. We talk about Disney. We talk about really Hollyweird in general. For instance, again, maybe dating myself, I don't know if kids are still watching The Old Wizard of Oz. There's 36 remakes out there. But Judy Garland, somewhere over the rainbow, she talked about the fact that she was intimidated into abuse as a young girl. Much later in life, I believe it was on the Larry King show, and she's far, far, far from the only one. We know about the Weinstein scandal. A lot of people say, well, those were women. Well, actually, some of the accusations go into the realms of 16 and 17 year old girls. The abuse of children in particular via the realm of power, not just in entertainment, but also political, is a long and storied one. And that's where it gets even more troubling. You notice Sal talked about the intermingling of somebody like a Puff Daddy and an Eric Adams. Now, I'm not making any accusations there, but when you go to, for instance, the Franklin scandal and what was happening in Washington, D.C. and beyond in the 80s and 90s, Barney Frank, who was a congressman at the time, was not only accused of running a male brothel out of his D.C. home, but there were actually ethics committee hearings on it because it wasn't an accusation. He absolutely was taking part in it. But he said, hey, I didn't know about it. It was just the assistant who I was paying and also having sex with. It was just that. So again, you look at this stuff and it is the norm. And a lot of these people, I mentioned Bryan Singer. Well, there have been allegations about against Quincy Jones. Now, not of the child nature, but I know there's probably a lot of Tupac fans out there. Again, Tupac, maybe not my thing. Wasn't Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang is for the kids. Tupac accused Quincy Jones of trying to have sex with him while he was dating his daughter. Now, I want you to think about that power play. But these power plays, I mean, just look at the WWE and even Vince Duty McMahon, after a lifetime of being at the top of a multi-billion dollar empire that he built, having to step down. These stories don't seem few and far between. And that's why when we come back, we're going to talk Nickelodeon. I wanted to get slimed as a kid. I wanted to be on Double Dare. I wanted to sit there next to Mark Summers and finish the physical challenge and the obstacle course all together, raise my hand as a champion, and hopefully run away with some big bucks and great toys. I wanted to be on Nickelodeon, and I get that. All right. But there is a much darker side to the entertainment industry, the children's entertainment industry in particular. And we're going to get into that on the flip side of this break. But I do want to remind you, give us a follow across all the social media. And if you can, please consider a donation as well. Independent media like this cannot run without you. That Nickelodeon story after this.
Russia, gas prices, COVID mandates.
It just doesn't seem like anybody's doing anything about it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
A new shocking childhood running report by the Daily Mail reveals that the popular children's TV channel Nickelodeon either employed or worked with no less than 5 convicted child molesters, and 2 are accused pedophiles. Here with the story, joining me once again is TNT News producer Adam Clark, aka Ruckus. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Thanks, Jason. I may have misspelled a word there, but this is a child ruining report. So if you do not want your childhood ruined, you have approximately 3 seconds to turn us off. But don't forget to turn us back on when I'm done. Yeah, this is dark stuff. This is cray cray. I'm a little bit older. I caught the first iteration of Nickelodeon way back in the day when it was like ultra high pay. It was like an HBO type channel. You had to pay for that, a lot of money. And they did originally have like a skit program called You Can't Do That on Television. So that's when I was exposed to Nickelodeon. And that's where the slime first made its appearance on Nickelodeon, because a character would say, if they had asked them a question, then they would say, I don't know. Yes. Yeah. You remember a bucket of slime would fall on your head, or if you said water would fall on your head. So yeah, good, fun stuff. And then they did the slime thing with that contest series you mentioned, Double Dare. But this is all in what's happening here is recently you had mentioned in the first hour, they had a new HBO Max and Discovery Plus series called Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. And we're going to get to some of that. But first, we need to address the elephant in the room, Jason. This is probably the most important part of the story, I would argue. We need to discuss whether or not the Splat logo from Nickelodeon is the Epstein Island. See, this is why this is dangerous, folks. So, yes, there are people out there insisting that the Nickelodeon logo as it sits now, which is a new design as of 2023, if I'm not mistaken, by someone who just calls himself Roger. Yeah, they're saying, oh, look, it's Epstein's Island. I don't know if there's anything to that. But, you know, maybe there is, because PolitiFact came out with a fact check and says, no, there's absolutely nothing there. So, hey, maybe there's a there. But we don't need that to be a there, because there's a very real there. Just watch that documentary series. And now this bombshell report, thanks to the Daily Mail, which is huge. We're not going to be able to get into all of it. So I encourage you, the viewer, the listener, the audience member, to go check it out for yourself. But here's what's going on. The Daily Mail did this report. They were looking at court records and various other reports talking about how there's now 5 convicted child molesters, 2 other accused pedophiles. And this is what we know of. Okay, there's probably a lot more. According to the report, at least one of the abusers was hired despite offending before he joined the Paramount-owned American network. They knew. See, that's the big problem right there. 3 of the convicted molesters were profiled in that aforementioned documentary series. What was it called again? Crap, I forgot. Quiet on the Set.
Quiet on Set.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. So now one of these is acting coach Brian Peck. who has allegedly, supposedly, probably molested one Nickelodeon star by the name of Drake Bell. This is a person who was after my time of watching the shows. And this person, Brian Peck, served 16 months in prison, and then he went on to work with the Disney Channel before executives found out about his conviction. The other, one production assistant by the name of Jason Handy, worked for alleged abuser Dan Schneider at the network during the late 1990s. Handy was jailed back in 2004 for sexually abusing a 9-year-old girl and for possession of tens of thousands of images of child porn. When police raided his LA, Los Angeles home, they found a diary in which he described himself as a, quote, pedophile, full-blown, period, end quote. Yikes. Ezel Chanel worked as an animator at Nickelodeon until he was sentenced to 7 years in prison in 2009 for molesting a 14-year-old boy on set. He was also accused of luring two teenage boys to his workplace, showing them porn, and inappropriately touching them. Chanel had allegedly been hired by the network despite an earlier conviction for child sex abuse. The two other convicted sex offenders were identified by the Daily Mail as talent agent Marty Weiss, who committed quote-unquote lewd acts with a preteen client, and teen star Cody Longo, who pleaded guilty to molesting a 9-year-old girl in 2021. So that's where we're at. These are the names. It's okay to say these names. They're disgusting people, presuming, of course, they're guilty of the crimes that they've been accused of. We always got to keep that in mind. But I think there's definitely a there, Jason, as we were intimating throughout the show today. But what do you think about this?
Well, you talked about Brian Peck, and there is no doubt he was convicted. You know, Quiet on Set actually does a really good job of kind of not only documenting that conviction, but how many people within the Hollywood community that actually showed up in court on his behalf. And I'm sorry, but if you molest a child, that's it. You go to jail for the rest of your life. It doesn't seem like there's much reform for you. You certainly don't get lesser of a sentence because the child is younger. In other words, people that get convicted of rape, they do decades in prison, sometimes life if it's violent. You don't see that with these children. Peck himself is not in jail, and he was convicted of what he did to Drake Bell, who could not on camera really iterate how horrific it was. Only the worst things you could ever imagine being done to somebody. Okay, and that guy again is walking around, and that's the case time and time and time again with these people that seem to be serial molesters. Within, for instance, let's bring up another political person. The ex-Speaker of the House, who was the longest standing Republican Speaker, Dennis Hassert, was actually labeled verbally by a judge in court as a serial child molester. He did zero time for molesting any children. In the case that he did, because it was basically about him laundering money. The IRS saw he was giving money over to somebody. He then said he was being blackmailed. They did an investigation. The guy's like, no, I'm not blackmailing him. He molested me as a child. This is the agreement that I didn't tell people. You know, and right there, because of those monetary transactions that he wasn't paying taxes on, he went to jail for 15 months and they portrayed him as an old man in a wheelchair. Never did time as a serial child molester, which he was labeled by a judge. So I think it's problematic that we have a system that really allows these predators to continually do what they do. Even a guy like Weinstein, that at the end of the day is in prison now, how many victims did he have that we've never heard about, Adam?
Yeah. And then I've heard some disturbing things from a lot of studies, research that has been done, journalism, things like that. And psychology, you know, psychologists looking at this thing, it turns out that a vast majority of people who were molested as children wind up molesting kids themselves when they grow up. So it's a perpetual problem, and it's a very serious one. It's very sick. It's as old as time. The secret societies are way into this. Sometimes you look at some of these creepy people like, oh my God, I always get these screwed up. But was it Aleister Crowley? Was he the one who wrote about doing sick things to kids for the name of like magic? And
so for those that don't know about Aleister Crowley, he would incant demons or entities and then write under them. And Crowley once penned that the most powerful form of sex magic. Now, it wasn't Crowley himself. He was channeling a demon or an entity or whatever you want to call it. He didn't call them demons. He said the most powerful form of sex magic was taking a virgin boy from behind and at the apex of climax, cutting his throat and drinking his blood. And unfortunately, I think that's kind of, you know, you talked about memes earlier with the Nickelodeon logo. That's really, in my opinion, where the meme of adrenochrome, although it has a reality basis behind it, has come from. What do you want to leave us with, Adam?
Well, you know, that's all sick stuff. So, Jason, I don't know, man, this is a big problem and I don't know how we're ever going to fix it, but it probably needs to be fixed. I will say that you know, it's a serious problem and they do this in the shadows. They do this secretly. Look what happens. They appreciate it because they let the higher ups, the politicians, the elites in Hollywood and the music industry get away with it. But they go after the people who looked at the girl funny. That's sexual harassment right there. Because they know that if the public were truly aware of what these elites were doing, they would come after them because this is so wrong. They're even trying to normalize it now. You watch. That's the next phase. They're going to try to say, oh, well, yeah, this is normal. It's not normal. It's sick, satanic, and I'm against it.
Well, the bottom line is, to me, it's never been a left or right issue, and there couldn't be more of a right or wrong issue than protecting our children. Adam, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're going to take a quick break. We got Steve Poikkanen on after this. We love you here, so give us a follow over at TNT Radio, and we'll be back with more after this.
TNT's David Curtin.
In my mind, government spending in the UK is absolutely horrendous. It has got completely out of control over the last 14 years of Conservative rule and 13 years before that of Labour rule. You would probably be astounded if you actually knew how much the government spent. In this financial year, these are the figures, the estimate for how much it wants to spend on everything or how much it needs to spend is £1.2 trillion or £1.2 million, if you like, which is an amount of money that we cannot really comprehend.
David Curtin on today's News Talk, TNT. TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission.
Today's News Talk Radio.
Now we're talking! Turn it up! Down.
TNT.
And we are joined by my good buddy and the show host of AM Wake Up, Steve Poikkanen. And as I always like to do when I'm talking to good friends, let's talk global warfare. That's where we're going to start this one off on today. We're going to start it right off with global warfare. We talked about Palestine and Gaza earlier in the broadcast, and right now, with the videos that have been leaked on the internet and covered by international news organizations showing the drone warfare clearly targeting unarmed citizens, seem to be walking home. Number one, there's been nothing but silence here. And then when you do talk about it, and it is acknowledged, well, we're at war. Well, we're at war. And it's excuse after excuse after excuse. At the same time, as the polling would suggest, a lot of people on the right and the left, or those who are politically homeless, that are just paying the slightest bit of attention, obviously are not for what is going on in Israel and Palestine at the moment. So what are your thoughts on that dynamic in the internet age where this, especially the drone footage that was clearly leaked out by somebody within the military that doesn't like what's going on? I can't see another way that it's getting out there. Where are we on this? I mean, because we don't really have a media. We haven't for a long time. We're 6 months deep in this conflict. Is it going to just escalate into World War III and our media is just going to happily ignore all of it?
That's interesting. We were talking about this the other night, Jason. There seems to be the opportunity for a legitimate anti-war movement for the first time in since 2006 until they quashed any legitimate anti-war sentiment with Occupy in 2011.
I would say even 2004, because once they went into war with Iraq, there was some fervor prior to Iraq. Hey, this was getting out of control, right? 2003, 2004. But around that time, I would say after the fifth anniversary of 9/11, that was our last hope, because that was a big part of the anti-war movement that they didn't want to acknowledge. But obviously, as we get progressive, there's no doubt it was really one of the driving forces of at least its legitimacy at the time. But 2006, I think you're being kind. So we're talking about 18 plus years, maybe 20. Yeah.
So I not only are you actually due, but this is something that I've reflected on for a little bit. This is the first time in modern history where we've had three generations of combat veterans who have been screwed over by the VA and are talking to each other about it and are talking to each other about what being a part of that global money laundering experiment has been for them. And so recruiting numbers are down across the board. They're trying to make it a kinder, gentler, more inclusive remote warfare military, right? Because they're not getting the boots on the ground grunts that they need anymore. We've seen the shift into AI. We've seen how Ukraine was an experiment for a lot of new drone warfare toys. So we're really kind of at a moment where we could have a combat veteran-led winter soldier type thing for really the first time since, what was that? It was the last real big winter soldier moment was maybe 2010 when Mike Preisner had a backbone. Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
No, I agree with you. Like, again, but we're so far behind it. We're a decade and a half from any type of event like that. Not only is it the same war, but it's ultimately expanded. Even if they say that we're out of Afghanistan, I hate to tell everybody, we're not fully out of Afghanistan. During the war of terror, they want to call it the war on terror, we legitimized and expanded the PMG, privatized military group. I can't think of what it was. What is it?
It was Blackwater. It's got some weirder name now. I can't remember.
It went through XE Services after Blackwater, and then it went into another one, and then it took Blackwater back. So it did have a couple names, but I'm pretty sure it's Blackwater again. And that, they have Oak Grove and there's a dozen of other ones. Okay. And if you don't think that at the highest levels of those, they're working with the U.S. military, of course they are. So I think that is by design. I think them giving the illusion that our military is weak is also by design, because they're automating it, like you just said. They are real world testing drones from above on a first world population, on a first world military, aka Russia. At the same time, not exposing the vast majority of our troops to death and destruction. And you may very, very well be right. This new generation is simply not as hard as our generation. And our generation simply was not as hard as the generation before us. And those are just facts. But I got news for you. A big dog robot moves pretty quick, and it's got about 27 attachments they're waiting to put on top of it. And those are the ones you can see, not the ones that are 3,000 miles in the sky. They're not the Ghost or the Sidewinder that's hooked into Elon Muskernuts' Starlink. So again, I think we have to, you know, we talk about fighting forever wars. This is kind of a different one. You know what I mean? Yeah, Russia's going to keep pushing, but at the same time, we have it as a almost like a robotic proxy where we're milking the military-industrial complex for money, but we're not really losing a lot of lives, which I think would be the spark to maybe get that anti-war movement that you talked about moving. But because we don't have those mass deaths, most people don't see it that way, Steve.
So if that's the case, and you need to replace a depleted military due to lack of interest or a little bit more awareness, what better way to do it than to offer citizenship to any one of the 8 to 12 million immigrants who have come across the border in the last couple of years who are all suspiciously of fighting age? That seems to be a unique way to sort of facilitate a replacement, if you will, of a depleted armed forces. Now, I am by no means a conspiratorial human being. I am, however, a pattern recognitionist. And this is something that has been both easily identifiable and disconcerting. I don't know what your thoughts on that are.
No, I would agree with you. And I would also posit that those people from South American countries that are coming here, although it's definitely not just South America, they're a little harder in this generation than the people that grew up in this country watching American Idol and basically learning how to TikTok and Snapchat over the last decade plus. We got to take a break for the news headlines. When we come back, it's more TNT Radio Live with Steve Poikkanen after this.
Now,
I've got news for you.
Give me the news.
Give it to me.
Give me the news.
TNT Radio News.
News flash.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. The U.S. Coast Guard suspended the search for six individuals presumed dead near the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore on March 26. Shares of Trump Media and Technology Group, led by former President Donald Trump, saw a 20% increase in its second day on the NASDAQ, enhancing Trump's wealth amidst his legal battles. Australian National University researchers have discovered a gene mutation responsible for psoriasis, a skin condition marked by itchy, scaly patches.
Globalist agendas, democratic rights at risk, corruption, propaganda. It never stops. For the news and views silenced by the mainstream media, by government and corporations, vote one. TNT Radio. Free speech always has a home here. Stay up to date with the latest live news and current affairs delivered by our lineup of expert commentators and hosts. Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Sticking with that region for global warfare, we haven't discussed the Moscow Mall massacre yet, and ISIS now being thrown into the fray via this very globally unstable period. Let's call it that. Now, when I saw this, I believe on Friday when it occurred, when I started seeing the mall burning and, you know, the people dying, I thought to myself, well, number one, the people doing this, they don't look like, you know, a highly touted military unit. Just their formation and the videos. I'm thinking these guys are low IQ, low level people that were paid to do something and really have no idea what they're doing. However, they're really successful at it. They weren't successful at getting away. And that's the thing. You have to know something like that is going to be either a suicide mission or you're spending the rest of your life in a very uncomfortable place, some of which is going to be extremely uncomfortable for an extremely long period of time initially afterwards, which we saw illustrated with batteries that were hooked up to the genitalia of some of these individuals. Now, the reports are saying they were paid somewhere around $5,000 or promised $5,000 a piece. They're paid half of that. 2,500. They seem like patsies. On one end of the propaganda machine, you've got Zelensky out there shouting out that Russia needs to clean house and take responsibility. On the other end of that, the poot is saying, yes, ISIS is involved, but obviously Ukrainian, maybe U.S. intelligence. The U.S. is coming out, you know, right away and backing the ISIS narrative. Steve, it's been a few days on this one. What are your overall thoughts of the reality behind this situation?
The reality behind this is that the owner of that building, who is a very good friend of Donald J. Trump's, apparently, it does not have the same insurance guy as the Baltimore Bridge people, because Joe Biden came out and said he'd pay for it right away. Vladimir Putin has not necessarily made the same concession. This whole thing is really weird, Jason. I had Riley Wagaman on the show on Monday morning. He's a journalist who lives in Russia, independent journalist, free to criticize and look around and report on what he sees and ask questions. And there's a lot about the opening minute or so of that video that raises a ton of questions. And it's unfortunate that the answers seem to be very, very thin on the ground. There appear to be at least one, if not a couple of different uniformed security guys, one of which has a German Shepherd on a leash, walking casually as there's gunshots going on behind them. There's audio of the alleged videographer who is saying that the reason the video he shot looks so smooth is because he's got bad legs. I'm not even mistranslating. He's got bad legs, so he can walk smoothly because he couldn't run in a panic while people had up to 45 seconds to get out of the pathway of bullets and yet chose to stop and make barricades. I don't know how people think in emergencies like that. I'm not casting aspersions on that particular behavior, although it doesn't make a ton of sense to me. There's a couple of people having a casual conversation by a pylon, by the escalator. The videographer rides up the escalator, and there's a guy hanging out by the elevators. If it was ISIS, like they said, but I died after about 48 hours, I think. But, you know, there's ISIS would have stayed. They would have had a standoff with the authorities and gone out as martyrs, or they would have martyred themselves in the auditorium venue proper. And I think we all know that. So patsies, couple of hundred rubles, whatever it is, couple of thousand rubles. But the allegations where they all point to the SBU, the CIA, and elements within MI6 all leave out Mossad. And I think that that is both by design and unfortunate.
So do you think that Mossad may be involved because they are trying to escalate a global conflict on behalf of what's going on in the Middle East? I mean, we've been talking about the possibility of a powder keg event. In other words, if there were some type of a large scale terrorist attack, not so much in Russia, but we've discussed Europe in the past and the United States for perhaps a nuclear event of any kind, right? That would change the game forever. I talked about it with Stuart J. Hooper. Do you think that this is a provocation? On the other end of that, is there also the possibility of an event like what we saw in Moscow coming to the United States in a shopping center or at a concert type event? Or are we just too well armed that that's not going to happen?
There's a couple of different reasons why I don't think we would see an event specifically like that. Most importantly, being Victoria Nuland is not in charge of the reconstruction of like Omaha. If you put her in charge of anything, it would be a huge problem. The reason that I think that I believe that there's Mossad involvement is because Ben-Gvir was mocking and threatening Lavrov. There have been a number of different messages from various people in various positions at the Knesset and in the Israeli military that have said that Russia is effectively aiding Hamas because they have a benefactor program, as it were, with Syria, because they're allies with Iran, because they haven't intervened on behalf of Israel and Lebanon. All of these ridiculous demands of Russia, by which they have no incentive to adhere to Israel barking at them over this in the first place does seem to lead to the kind of provocations that we've seen over the last 50 or so years that have had Mossad fingerprints all over them, especially where it comes to trying to blame an ISIS type group or saying, hey, this is ISIS, which, as we all know, is a U.S. and Mossad proxy, and is effectively a confession.
Well, when you say ISIS, all I can think about, especially when they came on the scene, basically because Al-Qaeda became too stale. For those that don't know, Al-Qaeda really came into fruition via the Mujahideen, via Brzezinski, via the Freedom Fighters, and when bin Laden was on our side, and at the same time, we had a little shady activity going on in Iran-Contra, and all the money for all the programs was being funneled through a bank called BCCI, the Bank of Crimes and Cartels International, basically. And guess what? There are a lot of U.S. people involved in that. And then you take that up a level, all of a sudden the fear is going away from Al-Qaeda. You get ISIS, and then it's ISIL. But at the same time, the first time I really saw them, I saw them with US AK-47s and Chevy trucks. It did cause some suspicions, my friend, I must say. Just a teeny, teeny, weeny bit. And our past in supporting radical groups of all types, but especially Islamic ones. That's the truth of the matter. We got to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to break down the rest of the world and what's going on here in this crazy region called the United States as well, with an election coming up. We're going to talk Julian Assange as well. We're Steve Poikonen of AM Wake Up, more TNT Radio live after this.
The challenges our planet's animals are facing sometimes feel a bit heavy.
The animals haven't eaten in a day, 2 days, they haven't drank anything. They're cold, they're dehydrated.
As soon as we started our descent, everywhere I could see was mud, just absolutely mud.
So the country has been in prolonged drought so long, it was like a tinderbox waiting to go up.
Okay, very heavy. Each of us wants to be part of the solution, and we can be. Remember that there's good happening right now. At home.
All right, we were able to get into your unit, and we have all four of your cats. So, okay.
And around the world. For any animal in any disaster. So let's focus on that, right? Be part of the solution. One rescue at a time. Search ifa.org/disaster ready.
Our beautiful world is changing, withering, dying by the hands of those who don't value nature, even though we all depend on it for life itself. But there is hope. Together with caring friends, the Nature Conservancy can restore our lands and save our wildlife with big solutions only nature can provide. To learn more, visit nature.org today.
Jason Burmes on today's News Talk, TNT.
Final segment with my good friend here, Steve Poikonen. And before we get off of the global stuff and where you think that's going into 2024 and the presidential election, are we going to see an escalation of these type of events and essentially to the point where the United States is forced to put troops somewhere publicly before that election? And then we'll move into that.
The United States is in a pretty bad spot right now economically at home. There's a bunch of problems that Joe Biden and his administration have to face, and they can't keep ignoring them unless there's some sort of big conflict. And so in light of the, you know, rampant de-dollarization, in light of the fact that absolutely nobody likes him here, in light of the fact that people have become hip to, he's trying to lawfare away his main political rival, the likelihood of Joe Biden and the neocons that surround him and the ultra Zionists that surround him doing something ridiculous is unfortunately higher than it normally would be going into a November and possible, you know, midway through an 8-year run election. Yeah.
And that is troubling because right now I don't even see Joe Biden running for president. And what do I mean by that? He's not campaigning. He's not out there actually saying, come out and vote for me. They're rolling him out less and less and more. It is embarrassing. At the same time, Trump is keeping a pace. Again, love or hate the guy, he's on the road. He's in front of the cameras. He's showing up to the court dates. He's out there after the court dates giving his speeches. And look, you know as well as I do, he's got not only a cult-like following, but a following for a politician I don't know that I've ever seen in my life, period. You know, not up close and personal. So if we had a free and fair election, there's little doubt, even with RFK Jr., who in a lot of independents, because of what's happened via Israel and Palestine, have kind of turned their backs on him. I'm going to be quite honest. He had a lot of momentum, but his position that he took time and time again on that issue obviously lost him a lot of support on the left. And then a lot of the anti-war crowd on the right, that's going to be problematic. So as far as a free and fair election coming up, I don't believe we had one in 2020. Honestly, I don't believe we had one in 2016. I think I'm hard pressed to believe that Donnie T didn't get the popular vote to everybody and maybe win just about every damn state. Not a lot of Hillary fans out there. And that's the problem. They gave you the illusion of people being a fan of Hill Dog and the gang. Just like I feel like if they replace Biden, they'll try to give you the illusion that somebody like Michelle Obama can get 126 million votes. What do you think about that, Steve?
I think personally that the Democrats understand that they're a loser in 2024. I think that they've understood this position in the past, and I think they know how to kind of navigate from that spot. I think they know they can't send the old Delaware daughter sniffer out there and expect an election. They've already tried to get rid of debates and all that kind of stuff. So they'll put in someone they know is going to lose. Someone they know they don't have to rely on in 2028 when they need a kinder, more competent face of technocracy to help usher in that agenda 2030. And I think they're more than happy to sacrifice the White House for 4 years if it means they can play the opposition party and they can position themselves for that managerial spot for the 2028 going into 2030.
So you actually think they're going to allow Trump to win this thing? You think they're going to let him come
100%.
Back in? 100%. Man, I'm not so sure.
I think they're going to throw a fit the entire way. I think they're going to yell and scream. I think they're going to do everything they possibly can except for the inevitable. Unless they do really need to hit the button on that red team, blue team civil war, and then they'll blatantly rob it even worse than they did last time. But it's going to take that.
I mean, that is so troublesome to me because one of my biggest problems with Trump before he got in, right, in 2016 was I felt that militarily he could be goaded into a war and maybe a very dangerous war. Now, that didn't necessarily happen, but we did kind of see his quote unquote warlike footing and behavior after the attack in Douma never happened. Because literally in the 2 weeks before that non-chemical event where, I'm sorry, everybody, maybe you've heard it, you know, around, Bashar al-Assad didn't gas his own people, okay? That's a meme, like safe and effective. That's not real. And thanks to WikiLeaks for espousing that and showing the emails and showing the corruption of the OPCW, Office of Proliferation of Chemical Weapons. And I got to tell you, top to bottom, I hate what Trump and the administration did with that. Number one, he immediately shot off at least 17 missiles. Now, a lot of people that live in imagination land said he shot them off into nowhere. I got news for you. That's not what you do with missiles. He didn't shoot them off into nowhere. And I have a hard-pressed time believing that nobody lost their lives because of that. Now, again, later on, he did numerous interviews, even up until the tuck-ins, before Tucker got fired, talking about how he needed to do that, how it was the right thing, and how that attack happened. No, it didn't. It's been proven it didn't happen. And when they were in international court, you can watch this on C-SPAN, the representatives of his administration, when confronted with the reality, they played the Russia, Russia, Russia card. That's Russian disinformation. You're going to play the Russia, Russia, Russia card that was played on you again and again and again. And by his administration doing that, he only plays into that false narrative. So bringing back to my point of him being in and the wrong type of attack happening, maybe one of the ones that we just kind of alluded to, a nuclear or semi-nuclear event in Europe or the United States, we could be looking at World War III and an escalation of a war like never before. I don't want to believe that. I want to believe this time around Donnie T is going to treat me right. He's going to put the right people in, that we're going to get a Mike Lee that wants to get us out of the United Nations, or a Rand Paul, as imperfect as he may be, and a Vivek Ramaswamy without all the biotech baggage. I want to believe, Steve. I do. And you know I'm not a hopiate at any level. But you're saying you think it's a foregone conclusion that Trump gets in. Then I guess my next question is, who will be his administration?
You know what? That's the actual wild card, because he knows that he's got, even as president, limited scope for who he ultimately gets to put in there. So I really think that he's going to do what he always does, which is try to surround himself with his family, which unfortunately includes Jared Kushner. And I think that you're going to see an outsized influence of Jared Kushner in the next Trump administration. And that's going to not be great, my friend. But what else is he going to do? Who else is he going to turn to besides his family after the last time? So I think that he's going to double down on those sorts of selections.
You know, Kushner was just cage side at UFC 299 with the Trumpins himself. That would be ultra disappointing. You know, but at the same time, it was ultra disappointing when we had Pompeo in there. It was ultra disappointing, you know, when we had Bill Barr in there, and people actually thought that Bill Barr and John Durham were going to save the day and people were going to jail. And just like, I don't know what planet you're on. That's not reality. No one's going to jail. Like, and that's, I still think there's a possibility of Trump going to jail. I just had Sal Greco on in the first hour. He thinks he's going to beat all the cases. He may be right. I mean, time is sort of running out in that regards. But, you know, a guy like Roger Stone, who, hey, he gets it right sometimes, he still thinks they're going to slide some Michelle Obama in there last minute, maybe in July. You know, in that regard, everybody's talking about the Black Swan event here in the United States. Let's talk about the Biden Black Swan event that he dies on live television. And just because it's over, just because it's that time. And it just so happens, I'm not even saying something nefarious happens. He's got his ice cream cone in there. He's got one last thought, a Warren Buffett. He starts talking about identity politics, takes that lick, falls down, hits his head, bleeds out right on the scene. They can't pick him up fast enough. It's over. This happens July 24th on my birthday when I turn 45.
All right.
Very happens then.
Jason.
Yeah, we're getting real specific. Real specific. So we have all this go down. Then it's not going to be Kamala Embarrass. They're not going to allow that to happen. They got to put somebody that's viable in there. Maybe the gruesome Newsom. I mean, is there a possibility of just nature taking its course, or the Black Swan event everybody waiting for actually happens to Biden?
I feel like they've been trying to figure out when to exit old Joe for this entire year. I really do. I do believe at this point it'll be very, very close to the convention. They can't, Jason, let him out there. And as to which person they're going to put up, Okay, we all know that Kamala Harris is as unliked in her home state as, you know, that George H.W. Bush was in about 1993. She, nobody wants her here. I think that they are good. They're losing, Jason. They're losing. They know they're losing. They have to put another loser out there. They can't hit him with the pizzazz until 2028. If they try to put Michelle Obama out right now and she gets pummeled by Donald Trump, that's the end of that whole fundraising scam. You know what I mean? Like they at least have to game it out for 4 years. And so they'll throw maybe Harris at her. They'll throw maybe what's her name from Michigan, Whitmer. Ugh. Right. Gretchen Whitmer. They'll throw her into it. They'll give Cory Booker another shot because he hasn't done anything lately.
And he hasn't been anywhere. I'm waiting for him to resurface. That was my biggest fear in 2020, that we were going to get a Booker Harris ticket, like ultra sociopathic.
He didn't even get in on that like hip hop commission scam that Jamal Bowman was running or he's running.
Oh. Nothing. I haven't seen Cory Booker probably on television in 18 months, 2 years. And not that I watch a lot, but I do watch a lot of news and I read a lot of headlines. And he has been completely in the backdrop. That would be a dark horse to try to retry Booker. But he was so incredibly unpopular in those primaries, Steve.
Maybe it'll be Hakeem Jeffries and they'll just let him fail quickly. And get him out of the way because he is the most feckless, inept, brain dead, nonsensical leader you could ever possibly ask for from those guys. He's terrible. Yeah,
but at the same time, they're still trying to sell the narrative that we need to come together and we need to have a unifier and we all need to agree on a base reality. And that's just over. That's not happening in the country anymore unless there's any kind of accountability. And don't get me wrong, a lot of the people that are involved in the political arena are multi-fractured and in lunaticville on all sides. But the last thing we need is an establishment politician they're selling us on, much like they tried to do with the Nikki Haley.
Which is why the Democrats are going to nominate Nikki Haley.
I mean, you saw Bill Maher floating the Nikki Haley Biden ticket. Kick Kamala to the curb and get Nikki. I mean, that's insanity. Nikki Haley is about as popular as a 5-day piece of moldy toast, no cream cheese. You know what I'm saying? So like nothing about that is appealing.
They'll run her with like Arnold Schwarzenegger or somebody like that. We'll be like, we changed the rules last minute. Arnie can run now. Or they'll find some other like token conservative that flipped and went there. I'm telling you, they've got to throw a loser in there to make sure that they get their guy for 2030. I'm firm on this one.
Listen, man, with Schwarzenegger, it seems like that ship is going to sail because he just had double bypass surgery. I don't know how they're rolling him out, although they rolled him out every chance they could during the COVID-1984 nightmare. That's for sure. Let's talk Baltimore. We didn't even talk about it yet. Again, I always, you know, as well as I do, I always reserve my judgment as to what I think really happened there. One of the things that was extremely frightening to me is how quickly almost the entire bridge went down from just one point of being hit. Now, is that our infrastructure? Is that just failed architecture from 100 years ago when that thing was envisioned and built? I don't know, but it doesn't speak to anything good. And then there are those that think that maybe there's something more nefarious there. And listen, we live in a world of remote control and hacking. And look, that's a possibility. There was a low level loss of life here. I'm just pointing that out, the time it happened, and there are questions. So we only got a couple minutes left in the broadcast. What's your take on Baltimore?
It appears to be, if you want an investigation to never occur, the first thing you do is buy up the entire crime scene and promise to pay for the repair up front, which is what Joe Biden did. The reporter even asked him, hey, isn't it the responsibility of the ship and their insurance company? He's like, yeah, we just got to pay for it first. Don't worry. So that to me says that there's a whole bunch of questions that we're going to need to start to ask. The New York Times reported that the pylon that was struck was hollow. This was a project that was built in the 1970s in Baltimore. You and I know that in 1970s in Baltimore, there was the pretty heavy mafia presence. There had been a pretty heavy mafia presence, among which includes the Pelosi family. Nancy Pelosi being from Baltimore and being little mafia princess from Baltimore, maybe she would have some insight onto this. But if you combine cut corner construction, everybody looking the other way for American infrastructure for the last 50 years, the potential to hijack something like the Harbor Pilot system, and then look at a series of actual attacks on the American food supply chain over the last 3 years, there's a significant enough foundation to want to raise a number of additional questions.
I would have to agree with you there. Again, we're reserving judgment, but I also want to see a lot more video of this. I get it. It was early in the morning. Things were dark. We should have 50 angles of this thing by now in 2024. Steve Poikkanen, thank you so much for joining us. You can catch him in the AM on AM Wake Up over at the Rockfin and other non-mainline social media. We're not welcome in those parts there, Steve.
No, sir.
No, we are not. Brother, we'll have to talk soon. And I just want to thank everybody here at TNT Radio for checking out the show. Remember, we are live 5 days a week here, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And I'm making this my home, baby. It's not about left or right. It is always about right and wrong. I absolutely love you guys. And we'll see you tomorrow on the flip side.